Couple weeks ago, I was asked to do the subject of slander, gossip, and venting, and kind of the differences, but also what is it considered? And some time ago, I'm not sure how many years, I was like, I know I did a lesson sometime, a sermon on it. I couldn't find that, but Jeff, about 5 years ago, sent me a question concerning this, so I kind of use that as my basis. But it's interesting is in Hebrew and in Greek, there's quite a few words that are used, and we're not actually going to hit them all today because there's just a plethora of different words used for gossip and slander. But it's important to know what these things mean and how they're defined and how they're used, because slander in the Bible is different definition than the word slander we use in the English language. It has a variety of meanings. A lot of times when you see the backbiter, tailbearer, we tend not to understand that. And so the Bibles tend to translate them a different way, but the context always helps. And most people can easily identify gossip or slander. You just, you're going down a grocery aisle, right? And all you have to do is, at the checkout, and all you have to do is turn to your left or right, and you see those magazines that have nothing but nasty stuff on them, right? And that's all they are. They're gossip, they're slander, and many other things. People buy them and they read about them because they want to hear all the gossip. All the stuff that most likely is mostly not true. And so for Christians, it's good to know when you could say keep your mouth closed or when you see someone doing this and not to do it yourself. So we're going to go through a couple definitions. I'm going to have all the verses up there already, where they're at. But I'm going to jump through the definitions quite quick just because there's quite a few of them that the Bible has. So the first definition can mean slander, talebearer, or informer. And it has quite a few different there, but turn over to Proverbs 20, verse 19. Proverbs 20, verse 19. And it says, "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip," or basically a person who opens his mouth. When you look at the direct translation, or opens his lips. And so, what's interesting, one of the things that you'll learn about someone who slanders is they're going to be quick to betray you, probably for their own interest. But the idea here is that they reveal things. They're willing to betray someone. It's within them to go and let secrets be known. Proverbs 11:13 gives the same idea. As you turn over there. The reason why I did Proverbs 20 is because it's easiest to spot gossips or slanders was when you go and they're telling you something that someone else told them. And you know, well, why is this person telling me this? Why are they revealing this knowledge to me that shouldn't be for me to know? It's a secret. And also in Proverbs 11:13 it says, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter." That's the next thing, is that it's a teller of secrets, as we kind of just talked about, is a person who is willing to gossip or slander is willing to tell everybody your secrets or someone else's. I'm pretty sure all of us here, have ever confided in someone? And then maybe a day, a month, or even years later, and people do mess up, so don't get me wrong, suddenly you find out your information is everywhere. If it be in the church, the workplace, with family, it's been spread to everyone. See, a gossip will tell your secrets to other people, or tell you other people's secrets, will betray your trust. Not a person that's trustworthy. As it says here, a person that is trustworthy will conceal what you tell them. As in, you told them in confidence, like a close friend. The first sign of this is the famous line was, "I was told not to tell anyone, but," and then they give whatever information they feel is going to hurt someone. And that's the point of Leviticus 19:16. In Leviticus 19:16, it says, "You shall not go about as a slanderer among your people. You are not to act against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." The very point of someone saying, "Well, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but," is that they're literally looking to hurt someone else's reputation. They're not looking out for their best interests. They're not loving their neighbor. They're just looking to spread a word, and usually it's to feel important. And like I said, the Hebrew words tend to have different ones. We got murmur, whisper, and backbiter is another word. And we tend to see this throughout the Bible. When you read through the Bible, you'll start noticing, oh, that's the word that's being used. Turn over to Deuteronomy 1:27. Deuteronomy 1:27 says, "And you grumbled in your tents and said, 'Because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us.'" You ever meet someone that just grumbles about every little thing in their life? And it's interesting, it's translated as murmur, whisper, or backbiter. The idea is, it's not an outright in front of everybody like you're doing this, but it spreads. So you're not keeping it to yourself. Turn over to Psalms 106:25. It says, "But grumbled in their tents, they did not listen to the voice of the Lord." See, God's people were complaining, they were grumbling about how God wanted to go into the land he had for them. And God had given them enough evidence already by taking them out of Egypt with the Exodus and crossing the Red Sea, but they tended to just grumble about everything that came their way. If you apply that to work, do you have someone in the work that whenever they're asked a task to do something, they'll grumble and they'll complain until everybody feels the same way they do? And really what that grumbling does, it gets a group of people, you kind of get like a mob mentality, and it gets everybody to start feeling the same way you do, and then it brings hate or animosity towards someone that you're not liking. And that's what God's people, Israel, in the Old Testament did, was they would all start complaining together, and then it just kind of would come to a head. The next one is important, is over in Proverbs 16:28. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends." You know, when most people will usually think back to high school, maybe college, wherever, you know, when you're younger, especially in high school, or if you have had kids that have grown up there, you know, they'll say, "Oh, this person said this to me." And they'll complain about it, and what they'll do is they'll kind of go around and talk to everyone but the person that said it. Or they heard someone said that about them, and then what they'll do is they'll talk to all that person's friends, but they won't actually talk to the person. And so when you read that a perverse man spreads strife, it also means a slanderer separates intimate friends. Basically, is if I had a problem with Jeff, I'm going to go to Ray, I'm going to go to Clint, I'm going to go to Andrew, I'm going to go to Gay, but I'm not going to directly go to Jeff. I'm going to try to bring a separation to make people take sides. And the reason with that is you'll see that in churches where an issue comes up, if it be doctrinal or anything else, someone will have an issue with someone else, and what will happen? They'll talk to everyone but that person, then get a mob of people to be against the person versus trying to settle it with that person themselves or just a couple about the issue. And what it does is, when you hear slander, gossip, or whispering, you know, is that it purposely separates people. That's the whole point. And Proverbs 26:20 gives another idea about it. It says, "For the lack of wood, the fire goes out, and when there is no whisper, contention quiets down." It shows what gossip does. It spreads hate, strife, and divides people. But notice it says is the person that's gossiping, when someone doesn't accept it, basically tells them to be quiet, what? It stops fueling the fire. And that's one of the ideas as Christians, we have to realize if someone starts gossiping, it's like, I can't talk about that. Don't have to be rude, don't have to be, but it's, you gotta stop fueling that fire that's being fed. And most people who go around talking to everyone about it, that's what fuels them, is that people are wanting to know more from them, and then later on, a month later, they'll tell you something else, and it'll keep progressing. The sad thing is about when this happens, because I think we've all probably done it at some point in our life, you can see over in Proverbs 18:8, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. You know, something that goes into the innermost parts, it's something that you just can't take away. You know, how you put it, you hear someone's reputation get ruined, and then, like I say, a day later, years later, you'll find out it's false. But every time you think of that person, you'll think about that false accusation or whatever may have happened. The point is that when someone says something, true or not, it will stay with that person. And a lot of times is you say, oh, that person's something. And it might not be true, but every time the person you said it to, it'll stay with them. It'll stay, it'll resonate. And every time you look at that person, that'll come to mind. Even if it's proven false, you can't take back something you said. It ruins their reputation, and you can't repair it. It takes time and effort, true or false, what the person is saying. Now, so those are things to watch out for. But the point is this is all the things that build up to a person when you gossip or slander. It's something that Christians should watch out for themselves and for other people, and not to participate in it. The next word, I think this one's actually only used once in the New Testament. That means whispering, secret slandering, a magical murmuring, a charmer of snakes. It's only found in 2 Corinthians 12:20. There might be one other place, but I can't remember. But this is how it's used here. It says, "For I'm afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossips, arrogance, and disturbances. I'm afraid that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past and not repented of the impurity, immorality, and sensuality which they have practiced." Paul's talking about Christians that are participating in these evil deeds and haven't turned away, and he's encouraging them too. But that just gives you another definition that's a different Greek word that's given. Probably one of the most famous ones that you'll see out there is found in 1 Timothy 5:13. 1 Timothy 5:13, it says, "At the same time, they also learn to be idle, as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention." And if you jump down to verse 15, what this produced for these women was, "For some have already turned aside to follow Satan." They were idle, they're going from house to house, they're basically going in and being like those magazines on the shelf. Men and women both can do this, but then since Paul's talking about women. But for all of us, is a gossip, when it's translated from the Greek, it says a person uttering or doing silly things, babbling of things, foolish, trifling, vain. And the same sentence, busybody, means about neglecting of important matters, which I think is kind of interesting. Based on what they're talking, does it really matter what they're saying? Does it have any substance? Does it have any relevance to me as a person? And it says, especially about busy about other folks' affairs. the busybody of things, impertinent and superfluous. So you got all these ideas that's wrapped up into that word, and it comes easily for us. It's not just those magazines, but when you meet someone, or if you've done it yourself, it's like, oh, this is where I got to pull away from. And we're almost through all the, not all of them, but the ones that I put on here. The next definition means one who takes the supervision of affairs pertaining to others and in no wise to himself, a meddler in other men's affairs. This is mentioned in 1 Peter 4:15. It says, make sure that none of you suffers as an evildoer, suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. Measure version might say gossip. I think one does say slander. But let's just take note that the basic meaning of all these when you put them together is that a gossip is to be in other people's business that has no relevance to them. And to slander is to put down or telling us so that should not be told. What I usually tell people, if you have to question, then you probably shouldn't be doing it. Should I be telling this? Is there any point to me telling this person and what's happening at this moment? And even if it has to do with you, maybe someone said something about you, well, have I gone to that person first, or have gone around and gossiped to everyone but the person and go and talk to them? So, in this part I want to get to, what does gossip look like? Because we went through tons of definitions, but what does it really look like? Turn over to Genesis 9, starting in verse 20. And you'll tend to hear to say this, but it's the truth, right? The truth will set you free. I've heard that one before, by the way. Someone says, it's the truth, and God says the truth will set you free. Then I point over the verse that we read in 2 Corinthians that those people don't repent and they have no part in the kingdom of God. I say, yes, the truth will set you free. But the problem is, just because it's the truth doesn't mean you need to open your mouth about it. And the truth being talked about in the Bible isn't talking about a truth that, you know, I might have a sin, someone may need to tell me, but I don't need to go spread it to other people. So starting in Genesis 9, starting in verse 20, it says, then Noah began farming and planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine, became drunk, and uncovered himself inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and walked backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were turned away so they did not see their father's nakedness. And when Noah woke from his wine, he knew what his youngest son had done to him. Ever think about that? So his son Ham, gone in, saw the sin of his father, because Noah was in sin. And what did he do? He went and was like, hey guys, look how I saw dad. Really? Did it matter that his father sinned? Was it right for him to go and tell the truth to someone else? To go spread that his father had gone and disgraced himself? Well, no, he was going and he was finding pleasure in his father's sin. He was willing to tell other people, but willing to do nothing about the situation himself. And you can see that, because what did he do? He walked in the tent, he went out, and then told people. What did his two brothers do? They knew about a situation. They walked in with a blanket, backwards, with their heads turned, so they wouldn't even see their father's nakedness and his sin, and covered him. And that was the end of the matter. Or at least their part. So you kind of think about it is, the purpose of a Christian is that, hey, if there is a sin, you help take care of it. You help. You don't go around and mess up someone's reputation. Just because it's the truth doesn't mean you go and tell everyone about someone else's sin. The next one that I tend to hear is, I'm just venting. That tends to be the main use I see most people do nowadays. He says, Bob over there, and I just, in my question, I use this as an example, says, Bob over there is so frustrating because he is so childish. He needs to grow up, and he tells all these stupid jokes. I can't wait to get away from him. Then the person says, sorry, I just need to vent because Bob is annoying. So childish like that, so childish and immature. I just wish I did not have to work with him. When people say they're venting, basically what they're doing is they're slandering someone else's name. That's all they're doing. They're speaking evil of the person. And usually it has nothing to do with sin. Especially in the workplace. Sometimes that happens at home. Sometimes that happens at church. Wherever it may be. But venting is not an excuse to talk evil of people. Kind of like Ren James. Same mouth we bless God, and the same mouth we curse those who are made in His image. For our scripture reading today. The truth is, the person who has the issue that doesn't like Bob in this scenario, what should that person do? Go to the person they have the issue with, right? Go to the manager, whatever it may be, if it's at the workplace. You can apply it in different ways if it's not at work. But go directly to the person. What profit, what edification, what building up does that bring if someone comes to me and complains about someone else at work? It doesn't do anything, right? It just spreads strife and hate. The next one, did you hear? So did you hear that Bob and his wife are separated? I heard she left him for the milkman. And truthfully, I've been in workplaces where things like this have happened. And it's the gossip of the whole entire work. But people forget, especially situations like that, that person could be on the brink of just snapping. That person could be on the brink of just breaking down, and work is the only place where they get relief. See, the truth is, if I don't know Bob, and I haven't heard it from his lips, obviously he didn't want to tell me. He didn't want me to know. He might have shared it with someone to confide, just to share his burden. But the truth is, if Bob hasn't come direct to me, I'm not a close friend, then I shouldn't know these things. See, Bob could be hurting, and he doesn't need to deal with the issue at work. It might be a place where he can get away and take a break and think clearly from all the stress. But what happens when gossip and center come around, what happens? It brings those things that shouldn't be there. People get busy about other things besides what they're paid for. So that differs the question, because we've gotten through different definitions. But is it okay to vent? And I think that's an interesting question, because it can be yes and no. At times, yes, it's okay to vent, but it matters who you vent to. With my wife, I might tell her about how my work day went, or a few close friends. I might vent about work, friends, family, or other things. Usually what I say I've messed up is what I say stays between me and her. Being with my wife, it does not benefit her if I'm not providing a solution to the problem. I don't slander the person. I might say something like, this happened again at work today. I really need the weekend to come soon. I'm pretty sure we all felt that way in situations. I'm stressed. And usually we'll say, well, what can we do? When my wife was working, she would have issues at work. And we say, well, how can we fix this problem? And she does the same for me. Then we pray about it. Yeah, I do get stuff off my chest, but that's between two people who are married, or you might have a close friend. But that's where it stays. That's the idea of telling a secret and it not being spread, as we read in Proverbs 11:15. A close friend conceals. You share your burdens with people. But that difference between venting and then also trying to find a solution with whoever you're close to. And that's the idea that's given in Scripture. See, over in Ephesians 5:3-4, it says, But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an adulterer has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So our speech is supposed to reflect how Christ was, not to partake in those things. That includes when someone comes and tells you. In 2 Corinthians 12:20, we already read it, but Paul talks about when he comes to them, he's afraid he's going to find them in a broken down state of sin. And they haven't repented of that sin, but we read that a little bit earlier today. I was having problems with my PowerPoint, so I took out some verses, put some in. Over in Colossians 4, 5 through 6, it says, "Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." The truth is, your speech has to have, edification has to have worth. And participating in gossip or anything of the sort, there's no worth to it. But it does bring about an opportunity. There's been quite a few times in the past, and currently, where someone might be, "Well, I shouldn't be complaining so much." Let's just use that as an example. And a good response should be, "Well, yeah, you shouldn't be." It's not being unkind. Yeah, you shouldn't be, because it doesn't help anyone. I've done that people, I was like, "What's the benefit? Why are you telling me?" I've asked that question too. It brings about an opportunity. "Well, I was just venting." I go, "Well, no, you're purposely trying to hurt someone else." You're honest. You do it in a polite way. That's a very brief summary of conversations I've had. But it's an opportunity to say, "Hey, we're not supposed to do those type of things. I'm not going to participate in that sin." Also over in Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so it will give grace to those who hear." I just kind of want you to think about that is, the idea is edification of building up. Part of building up is telling people that they're in sin, that you're not going to participate with it, so they can know God's word. And sometimes people get confused, gossip, and I want to be clear about that. You can ask me afterwards. I can tell my past, my story, the things that people have done to me. Sometimes I edit certain names for certain reasons. But I can tell the life I was in or how I came to God and the situations that I've faced and the trials I've been through with someone. And there's certain parts where you need to use discretion. But that's not gossip. You're sharing your story about God. And so, like I said, that the lesson's not about that, but I just want to be clear, there is a difference. For our last verse today, like I said, I had a problem with PowerPoint at home, so I wasn't able to edit it. But Proverbs 25:11-12 says, "Like apples of gold in a setting of silver is a word spoken in the right circumstances. Like an earring of gold on an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear." And kind of think about that this week. I'm pretty sure everyone within the next couple months will run into a situation like this. Look as for opportunity to help turn someone from sin, if it's a Christian or it's a non-Christian, and tell them why you don't participate. Let them know the reason why God tells us not to do that, and let them know the effects of it. A lot of times when you explain things to people, they're not as angry or they're more receptive. Go, "The reason why I'm not going to participate in this conversation is because this is what it does to the person. So I'm sorry, but I can't talk about this anymore." Well, you know, it hurts a person. It hurts a reputation. It's a sin against God. When you start explaining it versus saying, "Hey, keep quiet. I want to talk to you." There's two different ways you can do it. So listen. As it says in verse 12, it is a wise reprover to a listening ear. And so as you get through there, you know, there's certain times where you can say things and take those opportunities. lot of times we don't like to stir the water, but it needs to be stirred. So as you go throughout your own life in this week and the months come, I'm almost positive, like I said, everybody here will face a situation within the next couple months that will deal with this. It's the way of the world. And take time to let the person know that you won't participate in it and do it in a kind and honest manner. I know that was quick going through that, but hopefully when you go across those words in the Bible, in our English words, we kind of narrow it down, but there's different aspects of it I want you to think about and be able to practice that throughout your life. Also, if there's anyone here who might be in that sin or needs help getting out of that sin, or you're not a Christian and you want to become a child of God and kind of leave that stuff behind you, we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.